which is Pauli Canina versus Holder, Mr. Horn.
Stanley Horn. I represent Zanita. I can't pronounce her last name, so I'll just keep calling her Zanita. May it please the court. This is an appeal from the denial of the application from the BIA. There's two issues here. The IJ and the BIA erred in sustaining the charge against the respondent petitioner because 237A 1A does not apply. One, she did not enter the United States. She entered the United States long before this proceeding began, and she never received adjustment of status. She applied for adjustment of status, and it was pending.
So your position is that attempted fraud does not render her removable?
Right. If she committed fraud. We don't know she committed fraud.
Well, your argument assumes that she does. Your statutory argument here assumes that even if she committed fraud in trying to gain adjustment of status, because she failed, she's not removable on that basis.
That's
is that
correct.
Right? What's your second argument?
Second argument is the burden of proof is on the government and not on us, not on Zanita. If you read 240 C3, it requires the burden of proof on Zanita and not on on her. And the BIA, in its opinion, made a marriage. They said it is her burden to show that she entered into a bona fide marriage. That's on page 2 of the BIA opinion. And that's clearly not the law under 240 C3. The burden is on the government to prove the allegations of fraud. Now, it's important because if she wanted to apply for some other relief and she was found guilty of fraud, that fraud would bar her from applying for some adjustment of status. For example, under VAWA, she wanted to file an I-360 under VAWA, under Violence Against Women's Act. Fraud would bar her from applying for adjustment, and she'd be forever barred, literally, from coming back to the United States.
You're saying that, or the reason it, I guess, gives you standing to complain about the marriage fraud is that even though she's been ordered removable for having overstayed, and you don't contest that, you have various discretionary grounds for discretionary relief against that? Is that
yes,
the argument?
Yes, as long as she's not barred by fraud. She could apply for relief under VAWA, or she could get married again, or whatever. But the fraud would be an impediment to her adjusting status. So, and also, if you take a look at the record, in the record, she was never named as a participant in the fraud. The government had someone come in and testify. He testified that there were a number of marriage fraud cases. He never named her as a participant, as a participant in any fraud, no showing that she paid money to get married to the fellow in any way whatsoever.
They did say that that fellow applied for papers for a wife and daughter, right?
I don't remember if he applied what the visa petition actually said, but he had a wife and a daughter, so that probably was correct.
So was there some other wife and daughter in
no,
the woodwork?
Not that I know of. No, she so it was his wife and his daughter.
So
daughter.
Why isn't it reasonable to infer then that she and her daughter are the ones that he was talking about?
Right. That's
why,
correct.
Why is that an unreasonable?
It is reasonable, but we don't know why he did it. I mean, as far as she said, she lived with him for a period of time. And she had a bank account with him.
Right, but we also know that the IJ didn't believe her.
Right.
So you're saying the government's evidence is not enough. the government's evidence shows that her husband admitted to an agent to filing for papers on behalf of a wife and daughter.
Right.
If there's
that's
no
right.
other wife and daughter
no,
around,
that's correct. But he
it
never
sounds
said,
like evidence that it was a fraudulent marriage.
There's no evidence that marriage was fraudulent. He never testified that she paid him to get married. In the record, there's nothing. She was never mentioned as a person who participated in a fraud.
If we agree with you on the burden of proof problem, what's the proper disposition of the case, since she's removable anyway?
Well, she's an overstay, but if she doesn't have a fraud in her record, then there's a basis for her to come back at some point.
I understand that. The question is, what should our order say, in your view, since it would leave her removable as a result of these proceedings?
That she didn't participate in a fraud. She's not guilty of fraud. And your order should say that she is not a participant in any marriage fraud.
Or at least that it hasn't been proven.
At least it hasn't been proven.
Sort of a Scotch verdict.
Pardon me?
A Scotch verdict.
Right. Right. So if she didn't participate in a fraud, then the BIA's decision is an error. And the burden of proof is there because the obligation is on the government to prove that she participated in a fraud, and they didn't prove that. In fact, there's some in the beginning of in the first part of the IJ's opinion, he had some doubt about whether or not there was fraud, and as he went on, he just concluded that the government met their burden of proof without ever making any finding that they met their burden of proof. And the IJ made no finding about credibility at all as far as Zanita is concerned. And finally, she never had an opportunity to cross-examine the gentleman who participated in the fraud. He was never brought to a hearing, which he should have been brought to a hearing. The government had access to him, and he never testified. The only one who testified was the investigator. We have hearsay. Upon hearsay in that case.
I don't understand the significance of the burden of proof issue. The immigration judge was very emphatic that he believed it was a fraudulent marriage. He didn't say, you know, this is one of these cases, it's an equipoise, and burden of proof is critical, she has the burden of proof, therefore she loses. I don't see any of that in his
opinion. He didn't make any finding. He just assumed that she had the burden of proof.
It's the assumption. Hmm? He said she was not unbelievable and other witnesses were believable.
He says, I find both charges of removability have been established by evidence which is clear and convincing. I mean, he got the burden right under your theory.
Well, I don't. He didn't get because the burden is on the government to prove it, not on her. She could sit
but
moot.
But if you find something by clear and convincing evidence, you found that's more than finding it by a preponderance. So he couldn't say that if he thought that she had the burden of proof.
No, he didn't say that. But that's what the law is, that the government had the burden of proof, not her. She could have sat moot.
Where do you see evidence that the immigration judge decided the case against her on the basis of the burden of proof?
Well, the witnesses were all...
Well, where did he say that?
He didn't say that.
Then what are you arguing about burden of proof? It's not in this case.
Well, in order to prove that the marriage was fraudulent, someone has to prove that the marriage was fraudulent.
Well, the immigration judge thought it had been proved. Now, he could be right or wrong, but that doesn't have anything to do with a mistake about who had the burden of proof. There's nothing in his opinion to suggest he thinks she had the burden of proof.
No, nothing in his opinion says that she has the burden of proof. But
so why are you talking about the burden of proof?
Right, but somebody has the burden to prove that this marriage is fraudulent.
The government has the burden of proof, and the immigration judge thought that the burden was carried, not just by a preponderance, but by clear and convincing evidence. So what more do you want?
Well, first of all, we want to bring in witnesses. We want to bring in the person who could testify that she participated in a fraud, which the government never did. And
so this has nothing to do with the burden of proof. You just think that his findings are erroneous.
Yes, his findings are erroneous because...
What does it do with the burden of proof?
She never had an opportunity to cross-examine the investigator.
What does it do with the burden of proof? So will you drop the burden of proof? Can we agree it's not an issue here?
You even
say the IJ and BIA erred in finding that the government has met their heavy burden of establishing removability by clear and convincing evidence. So you're assuming that they simply failed to satisfy the burden of proof, not that they thought that she had the burden of proof.
Well, we know the BIA blew it.
Yes.
But the IJ did not. On the burden of proof, so, and he made the findings that are necessary. And so the question is whether that'll stand up. But now you're basically arguing unreliable hearsay.
Excuse me?
Now you're arguing unreliable hearsay, right?
Right.
So.
She was never mentioned in the record. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Friedman?
Good morning. My name is Nancy Friedman on behalf of the Attorney General. Does the court have any questions for me before I...
Yeah, why doesn't the BIA understand the burden of proof?
Okay. The BIA does understand the burden of proof, and let me clarify what the BIA was saying. They may not have said it as well as they could have.
Well,
we're talking about
sure.
two different burdens here. The first being the government's burden to establish whether the petitioner is removable. In this case, the government put forth evidence through testimony of a special agent and documents and so forth to show that the petitioner was removable as an overstay and through the marriage fraud.
Okay, the overstay is not in dispute.
Correct. At that point, the government has established her removability, agreed on both charges. At that point, after the removability has been established, then the burden shifts to the petitioner to show whatever form of relief from removability she is seeking.
Yes, I know, but that's not what the BIA said. It says it is her burden to show that she entered into a bona fide marriage.
That's correct.
Now, you've already said that the government succeeded in proving that it was marriage fraud. Well, if it was marriage fraud, there was no bona fide marriage. So there's nothing remaining for her to show.
Well, that's not correct, Your Honor, because she could have at that point, after the agency says, I find you removable through clear and convincing evidence. Now it's your burden. The burden has shifted now. You, petitioner, come forward with whatever evidence you have and show me.
That's ridiculous. If they find by clear and convincing evidence that the marriage was fraudulent, they don't shift the burden of proof to her to show that it was not fraudulent. The case is over.
Well, Your Honor, in this case, she was seeking relief from a charge of removability. She was seeking to adjust her status.
It doesn't matter. Once the government has proved it was a fraudulent marriage, that's the end of fraudulent marriage issue. There's no shifting of the burden of proof.
Well, she was seeking an entry here. She was seeking an admission.
Once the issue of fraudulent marriage is resolved, it's out of the case. The case is over.
Well, she was seeking a form of relief.
It doesn't matter what she's seeking. the issue of fraudulent marriage has been resolved.
All right. Does the court have any other questions?
What should we do where the IJ gets the burden of proof right and the BIA gets it wrong?
If the board incorrectly applies the burden of proof, I suppose there are a couple of ways to proceed. For example, you could uphold the decision if there was no relief available to the petitioner in any event.
So you would agree, I think we all agree, she's removable based on the overstay, and we've got the argument that the fraud finding matters because of other potential future consequences. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Let's try this from a different angle. Could you address more specifically the evidence that specifically ties Ms. Paglioconine to the marriage fraud? You guys had an agent come in and testify about what an informant had told him, right?
Correct.
Right? He testified by phone, right?
Correct.
Okay. How specific was the link to this petition?
The link was as specific as one could get because...
Could you refer me in... Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Could you refer me to specific testimony that links this petitioner to the fraudulent marriage scheme that these other folks were running?
During the agent's testimony, and I don't have the page number at the moment, but I'm looking for it, but I can point to his testimony where he described how he went through the phone records of the convicted individual, Mr. Starnes, and linked his phone records with the petitioner's husband,
Bauman.
Mr. Bauman.
Right.
After that, he did further investigation, and he looked into the visa petition that Mr. Bauman, petitioner's former husband, had filed. And
For a wife and daughter.
For a wife and daughter, but not simply a wife and daughter. He also matched the A numbers of the wife and daughter to the petitioner and her daughter. So I don't know how much more specific one could possibly get in any case.
Okay. Any evidence of payment to Bauman in this case?
Well, the evidence was the agent's testimony about his proffers that he had received from the convicted individual,
Starnes.
Mr. Starnes, about how the marriage schemes worked in all of these numerous schemes that he was running. So, yes, there was evidence of that.
So, generally, this was how they did it, but nothing specific to this petitioner.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
So, in this case, the immigration judge and the board both correctly found the petitioner removable, and the decision should be affirmed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Friedman. Mr. Horn, do you have anything further?
Two things. One is there's no evidence in the record by the investigator that Zanata ever paid any money to anyone. Her name was never mentioned in the investigation. What we're asking the court to do is to vacate the finding of fraud so that if she wants to come back to the United States, we don't have to worry about the fraud, which will no longer be on her record. She's an overstay, and we admit that, and she's deportable as an overstay. But to vacate the fraud charge would be very important if she wants to return to the United States.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Horn and Ms. Friedman. Next case for our